Hey there, this is Seth Juarez from Channel 9 coming to you live from ChefConf. We're in the beautiful city of Austin, Texas. It is really hot. But a new technology that's really hot coming out called DevOps. I don't know if it's a technology, a thing, or a feeling, or a hug. I'm not sure. We've got a really cool industry expert. Tell us who you are and what you do, my friend.
My name's Ben Keeps. I'm like an industry analyst or a journalist or somewhere in between those two things. Mm-hmm.
So what is it that you cover?
So I kind of cover everything. I don't have a hell of a lot of discipline, so I just kind of cover whatever's interesting. But fundamentally, it's all about how technology can enable businesses and organizations to compete and to innovate.
So we're here at ChefConf, and obviously Chef is all about DevOps. Let's spend some time talking about your impressions of what DevOps is, how it's changing the way we deliver software, and then what you think sort of the future is. So let's start with DevOps in general. What is this to you? How do you perceive it?
Sure, so every time someone says, I want to buy a DevOps product, a kitten somewhere dies.
Everyone laughs, like, okay, where do I go?
But fundamentally, organizations try and sell DevOps products. So DevOps isn't about a product. DevOps is about a culture, about a way of doing things. And fundamentally, it's just about moving faster. It's allowing organizations to be innovative, to be agile. You know, you've had organizations that have seen what the likes of Uber or Netflix or Airbnb or whatever cliched example you want to use does using software, and they want to do similarly. So DevOps is just about empowering developers to deliver business outcomes more rapidly.
So, I mean, that sounds like really nice, right? And I'm like, I want to spread all this DevOps jam all over my software sandwich. But are you finding success, industries that are successful in doing that? And if they are, how do they do it in your estimation?
Sure, so I wouldn't say that industries or sectors or verticals are successful. There are organizations that are successful. And the reason they're successful is because they've understood that it's actually not about technology. It's about culture and it's about people. And the worst thing you can do is say, you know, here you go, we're doing this pipeline, this continuous delivery thing. That's it, that's the new thing. But still have a very sort of top-down hierarchical environment. And so fundamentally it's about changing the culture. And this morning at the conference we heard from Alaska Airlines, for example. And you know, there's an example of an organization that's quite traditional. They're in a highly regulated environment. They've got lots of legacy systems. There's stuff still running on mainframes or whatever.
Right.
And they need to be agile or to be innovative around that. And so that's where DevOps comes in.
So let's talk about sort of this culture. Because I was in Japan a couple of weeks ago, or maybe last month, and they found DevOps to be hard because their culture is top down, right? And they found that the DevOps sort of mantra didn't jive so well. What kind of culture is conducive to what DevOps is trying to accomplish?
Sure, and that example is precisely it, right? Because if DevOps was about technology, you know, the Japanese are fantastic at technology adoption.
Absolutely.
And yet, DevOps doesn't really work particularly well there because it's not about technology. So the sort of organizations, the sort of cultures, the sort of societies that are most likely to be successful in this sort of DevOps type world are those that tend to be flatter, those that tend to be quite sort of egalitarian, those where there isn't a traditional approach that sees this very hierarchical, top-down command and control type situation. It's pretty interesting seeing DevOps being deployed in organizations, you know, like the military, where they are very hierarchical, and that goes against the grain. So the sort of organizations that do well are the ones that tend to be quite flat.
So, and why is that? I've been explained that I'm a dev. That's my training. I've been explained DevOps as getting stuff to customers faster. Like, I understand that, but why is it that a flat organizational structure helps with that?
Because at the end of the day, what you need is communication dialogue between the business and technologists. And more it's about allowing the business to deliver technology themselves, not actually needing the IT department in there. So it's about this communication happening. And in hierarchical organizations, there's this feeling that if I'm Joe developer, I need to get sort of my IT manager or my CIO to talk to the business manager on the other side and then down through the business level, the operative, you know, on the business side of things. And that just doesn't work in an agile situation. And so it's allowing Joe developer to talk to Jill, you know, business person to actually, you know, achieve some outcomes more rapidly.
So let's talk about organizations that you've seen that do this really well. What are some of the indicators for you of like, wow, this org really does DevOps well, they manage their pipeline well. What are some things that they do in order to make this work for them?
So in terms of what they do or what they use, they use a lot of different tools. And so if I look at an organization that says, you know, we are an Oracle shop or we are an SAP shop and that's it, then, you know, it's not that those vendors can't deliver agility, but generally speaking, those shops tend to be less agile because they tend to be very, very monolithic, they tend to be on one stack, they tend to be very siloed. So I look for an organization that says, yeah, we're doing a bunch of Jenkins and we're doing some Chef and we're also using Puppet and we're using this other stuff and we're doing microservices and we've got, you know, OpenStack and we've got all this stuff going on. So that indicates, maybe it indicates a lack of control, right, or a lack of focus, but more likely it indicates just enabling the developers to do what they need to deliver some outcomes and to use the tools that they think will best deliver the outcomes in a particular situation. So that's one thing. But the other thing is really around language. And so, you know, you've seen it yourself. When you go inside those organizations where it just feels like somebody's grandpa is running the place with an iron thumb, you know, iron fist, complete control. There's no flexibility. As opposed to you go inside an organization, Amazon always talks about the sort of two pizza rule. Mm-hmm. You know, teams are small and you know, a team bigger than can be fed with two pizzas is too big. So those sort of small organizations, or not so much small organizations, but organizations that feel small. And so, you know, there's the saying that it's not the big that eat the small, it's the fast that eat the slow. A big organization can be fast, and you know, the opposite's true. You know, a small organization, we think they have the ability to be agile, can be really, really slow. So it's just about looking for those organizations that really have the language, the culture, the flat structures to really deliver innovation.
Are there any set of technologies that they use that prove to be very useful in their cases? Or is it literally just about sort of the culture of the company?
I mean, it's mainly about culture. I mean, clearly, if you're using a more modular application creation sort of architecture, the tendency is that you're going to be more agile just because it's kind of easier to be agile with these sort of more modular, you know, I'm thinking microservices or developer tools like, you know, the Twilios and the Mailguns and those sorts of things. So there's a tendency there, but you can absolutely be agile on these more monolithic stacks. Mm-hmm. You just need to know how to do so.
So what are some of the strategies that you've seen organizations do to sort of change their culture? Because it feels like if you want to be this way, people are probably watching this thinking, well, we should probably be this way. What are some strategies that you've seen that work to help people sort of move towards sort of a flatter structure, to use the right tools, to do the right processes?
Sure, so there is a tendency towards this kind of skunk works, sort of black ops, you know, let's put, you know, 20 smart developers in the room and let them do some stuff. You know, that can work, but at the end of the day, that doesn't really move the needle in terms of the organization. Mm. It may deliver some outcomes, you know, a particular project or whatever, but if the organization actually wants to change culture rather than deliver a particular outcome, then the best way to do it is within the organization. And so you need those people that that think differently. You need those, you know, amazing people that are agile and the revolutionaries to kind of work like as antibodies. And so what's really great is when you have a CIO or a CEO or a CTO who absolutely understands that world. And we had some examples today from Alaska Airline or Westpac Bank down in my neck of the woods, where you put people in leadership positions that understand this new paradigm and just let them kind of...
Infect everybody.
Percolate this kind of culture of innovation and agility.
As an analyst, I'm sure there's a lot of tools that you've seen that sort of help in the DevOps process. What are some that come to mind, their strengths, their weaknesses, suggestions that you have for people that may or may not use them?
So obviously there's the automation tools, and so, you know, Chef's doing a fantastic job of automating those processes. You know, interesting that that's now more than just simply automating, you know, the setup of servers. There's much more to it than that. It's right. It's a whole fabric. So there's those sorts of things. You know, continuous deployment, continuous integration is obviously super important. But even then, you know, communication tools, you know, whether it's HipChat or Slack or whatever an organization uses. So it's not just the sort of technology tools around delivering software. It's all of the tools that allow people to collaborate around that process, and that's from communication all the way through to actually delivery of the software itself.
It feels like, I don't know, usually I like to go to a vendor and then get all the tools I need, but it feels like from what you're saying, there are so many different things that people are using together to make this work. Is this the way that it's always going to be from now on?
Well, at the end of the day, you know, you hit the nail on the head. You know, you as a developer want to go to a vendor to get your tools. You know, unfortunately, or fortunately, as the case may be, you're sitting alongside another developer that wants to get their tools from
someone else.
And so if you look at it across the organization from a high level view, there's going to be a bunch of different tools. You know, this idea of sort of a wildly heterogeneous organization, whether it's infrastructure or, you know, application tools or languages or frameworks, that's going to be the norm. So I don't see that changing anytime soon. And the days of saying, you know, we are a Java shop, that's it. You know, those days are really going. And not that there's an issue with Java, it's just that, you know, you need to enable your developers. You know, at the end of the day, a developer knows what she wants to use. You need to enable your developers to use the tools that they want to use to achieve the outcomes.
Let's talk about a little bit about how the cloud has sort of changed sort of the paradigm when it comes to DevOps. It feels like DevOps in the time of no cloud is definitely different than DevOps in the time of cloud. How has this changed things?
Sure, because at the end of the day, in the old days before we had the cloud, you could say that, well, we didn't have the term DevOps then, but you could say you wanted to be agile, but at the end of the day, someone needed to rack and stack a physical server.
Yeah.
You know, you can't do that any more rapidly than it takes
with the screws,
to put the screws in. Exactly. Whereas today it's all about, you know, programmatically setting up servers and doing whatever organizations need or DevOps practitioners need. So in a cloudy world where software as everything, infrastructure as code, where that exists, then the constraints around the technologies, you know, being a barrier to innovation, have largely gone, and the rise of open APIs, the rise of this notion that everything will be API driven and will be programmatic, increasingly that delivers agility. So that we're doing stuff today that simply couldn't have happened in a pre-cloud world.
I see, because I mean, you couldn't, like I was in South America and people were telling me that in order to get a server, you would have to order it. It would come on a boat. It would take 3 weeks. It would be in the place for another 3 weeks. And then you'd have to put it in this magical building that was cool. And that was causing sort of consternation as far as being agile, because you were constrained by that. And I love how the cloud is sort of changing that. So we've been here at Chef. Obviously, you've watched a little bit of what they've said already. As an analyst, what are some of the interesting things that you feel Chef is doing that differentiate it from other sort of platforms?
It's pretty interesting. So today we saw the announcement of Chef Automate. And basically, Chef Automate brings together a bunch of different Chef products under this idea of a single fabric to do all of your automation across an organization, across the different infrastructures. And that's an interesting sort of trend, because on the one hand, we've been talking about sort of modular architectures and modular approaches, but there's still this requirement within an organization for sort of fabrics that span the heterogeneity that an organization has. And so a fabric of monitoring, a fabric of governance control, a fabric of automation. So really interesting to see what Chef's doing in terms of bringing those separate parts together. And that is somewhat, you know, could be seen as being somewhat counter to this trend towards sort of modularity. But increasingly that's going to be important at different levels in the stack to have this fabric that spans the increasing heterogeneity that exists.
So it feels like they're trying to solve, because when I hear heterogeneous environment, I think, boy, this could be a nightmare to maintain and to sort of have insights about your applications. Is Chef doing a good job of sort of making homogeneous that which isn't?
I think that's a really good way of putting it. I mean, yes, I think they are doing a good job. And I think you're absolutely right. It is about making homogeneous that which isn't. It's allowing the developers to use these heterogeneous tools, but still giving IT this notion of control, or this control and security and auditing that it had previously. And so, yeah, I mean, I think they are doing a good job, and I think witness the fact that they announced Automate, and that it is very much a homogeneous approach towards heterogeneous tools, essentially.
Yeah, and I, like every time I look at this stuff, and you as an analyst, it's probably really cool to see all this stuff, but now, as we fan out, there's still got to be a central place to manage these things. Do you see trouble in the future with this kind of challenge?
I think organizations need to think about it. And so, you know, identity is another area.
Oh, yeah.
You know, there needs to be a central identity repository or toolkit or what have you. Key management is another one. You know, yes, you want to give developers the ability to use keys across a bunch of different services, but you want management of that to occur in one place. So it is going to be a problem, but I think that the vendors are well aware of what they need to do, and the organizations are maturing to a point where they understand they need these control planes across the organization. So I don't see a huge amount of risk, because I think it's being resolved at an appropriate time.
We have about 10 minutes, and I was hoping to get from your perspective sort of what you think the current state of DevOps is, where the gaps are, where you see like, oh, there's going to be a challenge there, and where we're going to go in the future. And I wanted to make sure that we sort of elaborated on it in a good way so that people that are watching get a sense of this. The current state of DevOps, what is your feeling on it?
So I think it's very easy to sit, I mean, we aren't sitting in Silicon Valley right now, but to sit in the technology industry, to sit in Silicon Valley and think that the whole world gets this stuff. And I think that's a very dangerous place to be. So I think DevOps is increasingly an important theme, and people are aware of it to an extent. But if I go out to a traditional organization anywhere other than Silicon Valley, frankly, no one's heard of the term DevOps. They might have heard of agility, and they might be thinking about that, but DevOps as a term, they haven't. So I don't know if it's early or if the term DevOps will just go away, because it's kind of like inside baseball.
Yeah.
And I have some issues around that. But I think increasingly, even beyond the term, it's very important for us to start thinking about the way we articulate this stuff. And I had a bit of an argument on Twitter, as I tend to do, but I had one today with someone who was talking about some sort of phraseology that we were hearing over the past day around agility. And my point was, you know, if you go out to some steel mill in the Midwest, or some manufacturing company in New Zealand or whatever, no one's heard of those sorts of things. And I think we run the risk. You know, it's a risk that the technology industry has always had, and we've always been exceptionally bad at it, because we have the sort of arrogance that, of course, everyone understands the stuff, and if they don't, you know, they're just useless.
Right.
You know, and I think we need to lose that arrogance, and we need to actually appreciate that the vast majority of the world, of organizations, of people, aren't at this level yet, and we need to work about how we talk about things so as to include people rather than exclude them. And it's interesting, something of an aside, you know, in the technology industry, we are so focused on inclusivity and diversity, and yet when we're articulating what we do, we absolutely aren't.
It's the we become esoteric and pompous.
We do, and I think that's something we really need to resolve.
So the gap right now, you feel, is we're just not explaining this right?
I think we're not explaining it right, and we have this arrogance that if an organization isn't up to our level of agility or our level of using the right tools, then we just discount it. And we can't afford to be that arrogant.
So future, we talked about the current state of DevOps. There's some lacking there in how we explain things. Where do you see this space going?
So I think, I mean, the term DevOps is one that I'm not particularly keen on, to be honest. You know, I don't totally understand what it means and what it does and why it's there, but I think increasingly we'll be talking about, well, it'll just be the norm. It'll be the way things happen, so we probably won't have a specific term. But it's just agility. And the problem with DevOps is that, sure, it brings together developers and operations, but it's still an IT term. And it still refers to, in my mind, quite a siloed approach towards IT. Whereas if we're talking agility, that's actually about the business. And
right,
absolutely, IT needs to deliver some stuff in order for the organization to be agile. But we're not using phraseology that is, by its nature, exclusive to IT. And so I think that's what we're going to see happen. We're going to see much more of a business-led discussion around agility and around innovation. And yes, you know, the technology industry will use tools and approaches such as DevOps to deliver those, but those will be somewhat to the side.
So you're saying, let's see if I understand this, you're saying that that the future of DevOps, it's going to move away even further from IT and dev and move more into the realm of this is a business practice that then later needs to be codified IT-wise.
Well, at the end of the day, if you look at an Uber or an Airbnb or a Netflix or whoever, you know, they don't want to, you know, Adrian Cockcroft, when he was at Netflix, you know, his driver for the business wasn't to deliver Chaos Monkey, wasn't to deliver, you know, faster infrastructure. His driver was for the business to deliver content on any device, in any location, as quickly and easily and painlessly as possible. And so that's the driver. And so I get concerned when in the industry we talk about the driver being, you know, I want to absolutely ramp up my CI/CD pipeline. No, you don't. You want to ramp up your ability to deliver tools and products that the business needs. You may need a CI/CD pipeline for that, but that's not your driver, and we need to be really aware of that.
Do you feel that somehow, sometimes there's a disconnect between technical people and where the dollars come from?
I think that generally there's a disconnect between those two places, and you know, it's interesting. I've had an argument with one of my colleagues, an analyst who sort of coined this term that developers are the new kingmakers, meaning that, you know, developers are going to be the power brokers in the future because they deliver more and more the solutions upon which a business innovates. I have a problem with that because, you know, at the end of the day, the business is the kingmaker. You know, just saying that the developer is the person that creates this is kind of disrespectful to the business people who have ideas, you know, the salespeople who go and sell the ideas, the marketing people that actually work on the messaging. So I have an issue around holding any one department or any one role up as the enabler for innovation. Everyone needs to work together in lockstep for innovation to occur. And that's something that in the technology industry we need to be very cognizant of.
So when you're looking at an organization and sort of changes that they're making, what are some key indicators to you that, yeah, they're following some good practices, they're delivering business value, we should know who these people are? What are some indicators for you?
So when the CEO can talk about technology, and I'm not talking about the minutiae of technology, but can understand what these platforms can do for them. You know, when a technical lead can talk about the business, can talk about the metrics, can talk about the drivers, when we're able to, you know, sit around a common table and all understand the conversations from the other side, you know, that's a really good indicator that there's an organization there that's ready to deliver agility.
That's interesting. So you're saying that not necessarily that they can wear different hats, but they understand the hat and they know what it's shaped, they know why it's the way it is, and they know how it's going to be in the future.
Yeah, and until you've, you know, walked in someone else's shoes, you can't understand that person. And so we need to, and I think that we in the technology industry need to front foot that, because we tend to be the ones that are arrogant in this dialogue. So we absolutely need to front foot walking in someone else's shoes.
So what are some, we talked about the future of DevOps being more business driven. How do you see that being implemented in the future? Now to finish up.
Sure, so flat structures, project teams that are made up of, you know, business people and technical people sitting in the same room, rubbing shoulders, you know, doing stuff together. That's what it looks like. It looks like people working together for a common goal. And it's not about IT delivering its goals, business delivering its goals. It's all of us delivering the common goal for the business or organization.
Well, this has been awesome. Where can people go to read some of the articles you write?
Sure, so I write for IDG for two publications, Network World and Computer World. But I'm pretty active on Twitter. My handle is Ben Keeps, all one word, and always happy to engage there.
Fantastic. We'll make sure to put some links at the bottom. This has been super helpful, talking to an industry analyst about DevOps, how we can look at it today, how we should look at it tomorrow, and how you can change as an organization. Thanks so much for watching. My name is Seth Juarez. This is Channel 9, and we'll see you after the break. Take care.